In the early years of Drag Race, RuPaul said in a candid interview, "Celebrities are all truly rotten people." And he meant it. It's hard to meet with someone who inspires you because they don't always live up to your expectations.
We've all heard rumors of celebrities like Rue, Ellen, Boy George, Madonna, Naomi Campbell, and Miley Cyrus being terrible behind the scenes to their fans or abusing the people they work with. Are they justified in their anger, or are they just struggling with their success?
Today, comedian Carly Ballerini joins us to take a look at what happens when marginalized people become stars and how the facade of fame usually comes with a few cracks.
Plus, musician Casey Spooner sues Madonna for not paying him for the song God Control.
Did Miley Cyrus steal from the sweet feminist?
And RuPaul continues to reject the idea of having trans women on his show, saying, "There's not one thing I can say that will make people feel better about it."
How about meet our new trans contestants? I'm Fausta Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. We begin today's show with the song Shut the Fuck Up, using leaked audio footage of Barbara Streisand cussing out her audience in one of her concerts. The song, by the composer Revolution, got a lot of attention online in 2006, and it got him the attention of RuPaul, who hired him to the music for Star Booty and the theme for RuPaul's Drag Race. Take a listen.
Shut up if you can't take a joke. Shut the fuck up. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Would you shut the fuck up? Shut up if you can't take a joke. Shut the fuck up. Shut up. Or give him his money back. Give him his money back.
Our guest today is comedian Carly Ballerini, who is very fascinated by the secret lives of famous celebrities and entertainers who reveal themselves to be rotten to the core. Welcome to Feast of Fun, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Glad to have you.
Yeah.
You came highly recommended by Shannon Knoll.
Love Shannon.
So before we started taping, you were expressing concern and worried about saying things that might harm your career as a comedian?
Well, not like, I mean, it's just, I don't actually think that anybody is like the worst person in the world, but man, would it be a shame to like, at some point, you know, be like, on, you know, I don't know, we're going to talk about like Ellen or something and be on Ellen, and then Ellen be like, remember when you were talking about how everyone says that I'm mean behind the scenes?
And I was like, it's happened to me.
Has it really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
We've had, you know, we express opinions on the show, yeah, and then later on we meet that person. They're like, I heard you saying so and so about me.
And how part do you of deal with it? Like, what do you do?
Is it true? Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not slander if it's true.
Yeah.
But part of it is like, I want to create a world where everybody's welcome and everybody can change and grow into being amazing, kind, progressive, inclusive people.
Totally.
And I think, especially when it comes to be a very popular, very scrutinized entertainer, when there's millions and billions of dollars riding on your name, your life can be extremely delicate and pressured and sometimes you just don't have the psychological or spiritual or emotional tools to handle it.
I was just thinking about this, like on, like in, like this morning, about just how much of what we see is just someone, you know, five people in a room created that. This is no longer, you know, Ellen. I was thinking about specifically Ellen because I was like, I was thinking about how people were just like, oh, she's like mean behind the scenes and she's not the cute Ellen that, you know, the world loves. And I was like, Ellen as Ellen was created because Ellen came out as gay, and mm-hmm. in order to have a gay celebrity, you need to
Make them lovable.
You need to make them sexless and lovable. Like, you have to make them so that they're not dangerous. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're not, so that they're not dangerous anymore. They're like a caricature or like a, like something that's not exactly human. Like, you have to do that. I think that RuPaul did, because RuPaul has that. Gorgeous.
Boy George has that.
Boy George, but, yeah.
Madonna.
RuPaul
also Madonna. Has it, like, later in life, too. Like, was got famous for a hot minute, like, in the 90s, and then it had a bit of a career. But now it's a superstar because... Now I think because he's an older person, more seasoned,
less dangerous. Yeah.
But RuPaul, who talked, you know, at the awards ceremony with
Milton Berle,
and they had that exchange.
Yeah.
Where he,
when RuPaul, I was your age, I used to wear women's dresses.
Yeah. And what are you wearing now? Diapers.
Yeah, that's not supposed to be in the script. You're blacklisted. You know, why got to be black? You are canceled. As Milton Berle today would say to RuPaul, you're canceled.
Right.
And canceled he was for a number of years. Right. A lot of people were just like, oh, this person doesn't play by the
dangerous.
Rules.
Dangerous. You're so, yeah, them. you can't be dangerous. You can't be any of these things. You must be lovable. And if you're lovable, or if you're a little bit like snarky or dangerous, it has to be adorable, you know? Because like, you see like sometimes, oh my God, I was watching... Because we were, like, going to talk about Ellen. I was, like, watching that show that she has now.
The Ellen show?
No. The, you know that show that Ellen has? No. There's, like, this one that's, like, the game show. Have you guys seen the game show?
It's interesting. Like, RuPaul and Ellen and who's the Clorox bleach lady?
Who's the core?
The bathroom expert.
The bathroom expert.
Lesbian, tall, blonde hair from Chicago.
Sue Sylvester.
Sue Sylvester from Glee.
I have not. Oh, I didn't watch Glee. I'm sorry. I'm canceled or whatever. Jane Lynch.
Jane Lynch.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you talking
about?
All
these famous queer celebrities.
Bathroom Lynch. Why is Jane Lynch
the
bathroom lady?
She was for a while.
In the 90s, she was the bathroom expert.
What are you talking about?
There was a TV commercial. She was the bathroom expert. And that's kind of like when I, because I actually met her. I crashed a party that she was at. And she just looked at me. And she may have known who I was because it was early on in my podcasting career.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and she gave me the finger, like, come over here. I want to talk to you.
Oh,
so I came over and I talked to her. And I just said, you know, I've always loved you and I've loved your voice ever since you were on that TV commercial for the bathroom product. She's like, yes, I was the bathroom expert. And I'm like, that's what it was. Yes.
And so it's really interesting that a lot of these entertainers love to be game show hosts.
Yeah.
More than talk show hosts. And we've, you know, been doing this podcast for 15 years and we've observed that there's this undercurrent in marginalized people, specifically what I call the middle children of society. Mm-hmm. If you are a frustrated woman who's not heard or seen, mm-hmm. if you're an LGBTQ person who is not self-actualized, if you are anybody who is struggling to be acknowledged in their own community, they all have one thing in common. They all either want to be on Ellen or be Ellen.
Yeah. I don't really care about either, but I know I'm supposed to care about both and like, or try to be, do both. I think that Ellen represents something that I really cherished as like a little, like, okay, so I'm dating a man now because I'm bisexual, but I knew I was a lesbian way before I knew that I could do both or whatever. And like, when I was young, I was living with my very conservative, very Italian grandparents. And when they caught me, it was a full nightmare.
They caught you dating
caught you
a girl?
They caught me. They caught me having an inappropriate sleepover in high school. Whoa. Yeah. And it was just like a full nightmare. And I just remember like Ellen coming out and we all were sitting around watching that episode.
Mm-hmm. The TV show, the sitcom where she leans into a microphone and says, I'm gay.
And
we're like, don't you mean lesbian?
Yeah.
And then saw thousands of women all overnight started to describe themselves as gay.
Yeah, it was just because like I was really young, but like I just remember it being this moment because I looked at my grandparents and they both were like disgusted. Do you know what I mean? They were both like, oh, some, like, she shouldn't do that on television. She's that she just wants attention. And
there
I
goes
was like,
the neighborhood.
And it's a dirty little secret. Shame.
Yeah. And I was like, got it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like watching people respond to that was like really important for me to know about stuff. And then also just like watching society kind of change too because of it. Like, that was a crazy month.
Mm-hmm. Well, you remember Ellen on Oprah.
How old were you at that time?
I don't even remember. When did it come out?
Like
I
would 97, 98?
Yeah, I was young.
It was 1996.
I
remember because I was in grad school.
Okay. I was like 10 or 12 or something.
Right. Everybody remembers where they were. It's like the moon landing or JFK assassination.
Yeah, but like that's
everybody remembers where
Ellen
they were.
Ellen like did that. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like really got, and then all the Italian grandparents were mad at her and like she had to deal with that and she kind of was like gone for a while.
But now her audience is Italian grandmothers. It's the grandmothers
crazy.
Of everybody.
And
my mother watches
and,
that show.
But part of
1997.
But part of that is like everybody accepting her sexuality and then taking it kind of away from her in a little bit of a way and making her dance for them. So like you get where that like rage would go. I would be murdering hobos. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I just like on my way to
well, first of all, we
and
don't
from
call hobos
work.
Anymore.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
She,
like,
she says that the dancing is a cause of like consternation for her. She really wishes she never started that thing.
For sure.
You know? But it is kind of disarming, like, right? It's shucky and jiving in a certain kind of way, right?
Oh, absolutely. But like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's just to say, like, that's an example of, like, if it wasn't dancing, it would have been something else. Mm. And that's just an example of the thing. And I think that brings it back to, like, talk shows are weird. And I think that people...
You're telling me.
But yeah. But, like, but I think that people, like, all get to be kind of, like... like a little bit evil on game shows. Do you know what I mean? Like the hosts get to be like kind of in control of this, like, who knows if it's rigged, but like weird thing that happens.
It's a parlor room game.
It's fun.
Well, and you're the figure of fate too, right?
Yeah.
So let's look at the timeline of Ellen's lesbianism.
Yes.
Or, you know, as she likes to call it, gayism.
Gayism.
She came out, so she had she was a stand-up comedian first, but was hired as an actor on the Fox sitcom Open House. Mm. This was in the late 80s.
Okay.
And around that time, she would hang out and tour comedy clubs in the South, West and Southeast. And at the age of 21, I ran into Ellen DeGeneres waiting in line at a lesbian bar called Chances to use the bathroom, which at Chances, they had non-gender bathrooms way back then. And I said, is this the line to the bathroom? And Ellen, I thought Ellen was this really handsome, muscular, young, blonde man.
Oh, yeah.
And she turns around and I'm like, oh, my God, you're Ellen from that sitcom. And she's just like, yeah, like gave me this kind of scarl, this angry look. And I was like, oh, that's somebody who, you know, has a lot of internalized velvet rage.
Sure.
Then she gets this sitcom called Ellen. Where and she did other movies that tiptoed and danced around her sexuality because she was a very popular stand-up comic.
Yeah.
And then the sitcom struggled and Ellen DeGeneres and her team of writers stood back and said, let's gamble. Let's try something wild and have you come out as a homosexual on national television and make it front page news. It's going to be a scandal, but it's going to get people watching. And it was successful, incredibly successful for the first year. But at the end of the day, a sitcom based on Ellen DeGeneres is not something that most Americans wanted to watch.
Right.
And the show was promptly canceled. Meanwhile, Ellen goes on Time magazine. And instead of saying, you know, I'm a lesbian or I love women, she said, yep, I'm gay. And then she went on Oprah, where she exposed herself to a lot of people, to mainstream Americans sitting in the audience, confused and befuddled and angry that this this sweetheart would come out as America's lesbian sweetheart. And since then, Ellen then took some time off and she gambled again and did a daytime talk show, just like Oprah, that appealed to stay-at-home moms. And that's grandmas. Where, and grandmas. And this is where we get the modern Ellen. This is somebody who has a very complicated relationship with her frustrations as a marginalized person, with her power as a, as probably the top talk show host of the day. And when she's struggling with all these different kind of issues, things can get really crazy. Things can get really complicated and not in a fun way for her.
Well, she also had, or like in her newest special, mm-hmm. she talks about not loving dancing in like a fun way. She also talks about
her stand-up special on Netflix that you're talking about.
Yeah, I thought it was fascinating. I loved it.
I thought it was really, really well done, and it's the Ellen that the world needs to see.
I loved it. I thought it was like real, and like she was kind of like, this is how I am. And it's like, how about fuck you? Like she was like, she was kind of like, oh, I'm sorry. Can I?
Yeah. So, okay.
But she was talking about like how she likes cars and she likes to speed. I was like, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And she's talking about how like she'll like speed and then she'll see somebody like going slow and she'll be like, what a fucking asshole. Like it was great. It was just like seeing inside somebody who just kind of like wants to like assert something sometimes. Here and there, you know, and but she also she was talking about how she came from like that the Christian Scientist world mm-hmm. where like her parents didn't even believe in aspirin and like all this weird stuff where they wouldn't like tend to her wounds correctly. They would just like pray over them. And it's like, oh, I like for the, sure.
I don't. Was it in that special or was it somewhere else where she's just like, I was doing comedy and I was like laying in my apartment with roaches crawling all over me. It was just filled with roaches. And I was just like, I'm going to really make it big someday.
Yeah.
And she did.
Yeah. I don't know. I like all that.
So how do you make sense of Ellen's last year has been filled, mired in controversies from being an apologist for homophobic comedian Kevin Hart.
Sure.
For, you know, tweeting how she's hanging out with George W. Bush.
Sure.
And embracing conservative NFL billionaire Jerry Jones.
I think that Ellen as a human being is weird and complicated. And I also think another thing that I really think actually is that like if you're in the top tier of like rich celebrity people, it's really hard to like be like, oh, my peer is shitty. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like her and Kevin Hart know each other they've known each other for a long, long time. And like Kevin Hart, I mean, I don't particularly like him, obviously, mm-hmm. but like it knowing somebody, I'm thinking of like five comedians that I know right now who I feel like are going to pop. And I feel like I don't necessarily love what they're saying, mm-hmm. but I feel like if and when we both like continue on this road that we're going on, if we get to like this one spot, that will be somebody that I have known then for 40 years or however, you know what I mean? And then it's going to be very hard to be like, you did say this thing and I don't like I don't like every part of your values, but I know you as a person mm-hmm. and we've always like, we've shared all of these experiences together. It's kind of like when you have family and you're just like, yeah, I hate what my uncle thinks, but he's still my uncle. Do you know what I mean?
I feel like, you know, in terms of the 15-year history of our show and you know, people like Cameron Esposito or Mateo Lane, who've become arguably very, very successful queer comedians, I'd like to think that we had a positive influence on their humanity.
Mm.
And the hundreds of podcasts that we've taped with a lot of these big names is that, you know, it's an ability to persuade somebody to listen to you and to contemplate a different way of thinking.
Totally.
And I'd like to think that, you know, we've had a positive hand in shaping and saving the souls of some of these people who may have been lost in the wilderness in the chase of fame and fortune. We have so many friends who moved to Los Angeles into chasing entertainment careers. And Mark and I just kind of look at them and we're like, you've lost your marbles.
Yeah. I think that people lose their goddamn marbles. Like when, because I think that at some point you're not even, you're in such a weird world. Like, I've been to LA a couple of times and hung out with, like, people who are, like, in the presence of, like, that weird world a lot. And mm-hmm. they just, like, it feels like you're just not even talking the same language sometimes. And you're like, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, what you're thinking about just has nothing to do with anything that I'm thinking about.
Well, yeah, and it's like okay. They look at you like, why are you expressing human emotion like that?
It's just because, like, you're thinking so much about when your personality is your career. It's the weirdest. It's just the weirdest thing. I'm not apologizing for that, but I also don't think that cutting people off necessarily helps anything either. Like when people were like, you know, you shouldn't ever talk to these people again. And it's like, I don't know that that's the answer. I'm not sure that that's not the answer, but I don't know that that's the answer. Well,
it's going to be interesting to see, you know, since you brought up Kevin Hart, what's going to happen, because Netflix has offered him a special where he's going to talk about his problem with the LGBT community.
It, like, doesn't,
and that whole dust up.
There's, like, so much. It's so, and that's the thing, is like, that sucks. And it sucks that like,
he's being rewarded for it.
He's being rewarded.
You know, it's like Mark and I say, it's like if we were heterosexual men who, you know, their internet's full of people. I'm thinking of like some of these YouTubers who half of their careers they were presenting as heterosexual.
Yeah.
And then they came out as gay and everyone's like, oh, my God, you're so amazing. So brave.
Yeah.
Mark and I have been gay from the very beginning. And no one's given me a medal for that. Well, I have a couple awards, but that's not the point here.
I think the discovery, like, discovery is rewarded a lot. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think that people like being a part of, like, you going through a thing because they feel like they like, also did it.
But it sends a terrible message. It's telling marginalized people, especially LGBTQ people, hide who you are until you are in a position of power,
totally,
and fame and wealth.
I think right now a lot of people are like getting big because they are different, and I think that that's cool. I think that,
but they're, like, getting big with their audiences, not with power makers. And so here's an example, like someone like T.S. Madison, arguably a huge star. Like, we had her on Cooking with Drag Queens, the podcast we've done with her. Without blinking an eye, hundreds of thousands of people are dying to get to hang on to every word that she says. Mm. But, you know, it's hard for Hollywood or mainstream television to embrace T.S. Madison because she is an unapologetic sex worker and transgender woman.
Yeah, that is the rub. It's like so upsetting because you're like, advertisers, look at the thing. You could be making a, but this is your jam. Like, this is the thing that you love. You love to capitalize on people who do, like, stuff that gets everybody talking. Like, this is the perfect thing. Until that, like, I mean, that's going to happen too. And then that's going to have, like, its own thing where then, like, when finally everybody gets on board, because it's slowly progressing. Like, it is. It's undeniably. You know what I mean?
Where are you, like, MLK? You're like, the arc of justice is wide. Or
yes, I'm just like MLK. I've said that for years.
When it comes to pop stars, I don't know. Like, Madonna, this past year, Madonna, she's gotten so many lawsuits from her fans suing her for being
late
for her show.
I'm like, I would be late for every 2 hours. Get out of here. Just have a drink. I'd be like, do you guys want to come tomorrow? I feel bloated. I don't know. Like, if I was Madonna.
You know, whoever said the show was going to start on time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there might be a very good reason why it's late.
You know,
injury, things aren't working. Things
honestly
happen.
She feels bloated. You want, if you see Madonna, you want Madonna to give her fucking,
like,
best.
I'm not done with my anima yet.
You know, like, I need, yeah.
The water's not clear.
I don't want to see Madonna shitting her pants on stage.
Madonna's career right now is the most fascinating it's ever been for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that? Is it
because she has an eye patch? Come on. I mean, does it get any cooler than an eye patch and a pirate hat? I'm getting murdered gay disco bloodbath video. I mean,
that was the best thing. Madonna gave us what we wanted to see for a long time. And I would be very sad if Madonna was shot to death for real.
Yeah.
But it was something really punk and weird and glamorous to have her being shot to death and commenting on how sick and twisted we are as Americans that we're fascinated with these mass shootings and really don't do anything about them.
Mm-hmm. No, we're just like watching. Yeah. It's the weirdest.
We're doing a disco dance.
I will say that I think is the weirdest thing that's like happening. There's a lot of weird stuff. Mm-hmm. The weirdest thing is just being like, man, can you believe another 14-year-old just killed 20 people anyway and like doing absolutely nothing about it? Like every other country, like something like that'll happen and then they'll be like, we're banning literally everything. No one has forks. You know what I mean? And we're just we're like, not even bump stocks. People sometimes need a machine gun. Okay. Like here and there.
Sure. You know, I went to high school. We had a kid and he had some problems. You know, his parents were both artists and he would come in with elaborate plans, drawings of machine guns.
Wait, what? This is a person that you knew?
Yeah, there's a person. He was at, like, how he was going to kill us, what was going to happen, all this kind of stuff. And we would tell the teachers, they're like, well, it's just him. He'd be fine. And, you know, and like, well, because, you know, this was the 80s before any of this kind of, before Columbine changed everything.
Sure.
You know, it really did change everything. And I think, you know, for him, it was about access. He didn't really have access to those kinds of weapons.
To, like, a machine gun, like how everybody just randomly has. It's so weird. Like,
everybody. Buy one on Amazon now.
Can you really?
No. But you can buy a Kmart, you know.
Yeah.
K stands for kill.
It's like hard for me to find like eyeshadow I like. I just don't understand how all these kids are just like, yeah, I love, I just have this kind of gun and then this kind of gun. And I'm like, what is happening?
And part of it is like I'm observing this weird trend happening with marginalized celebrities who are in positions of power where they fall prey to this philosophy, what I call the Church of Toxic Positivity. Ugh, are you familiar with this?
I feel like I know what you're talking about, but please, yes.
Let me read some of this stuff to you. And this is kind of a meme on the internet that I really love sharing and talking about. Toxic positivity, it says, baby, you can do anything. You'll get over it.
I hate that so much.
And instead, let's talk about validation, hope and compassion, right? This is hard. You've done hard things before, and I believe in you. It's a very different way of approaching it. Just be positive.
That's the word. That's so I love. Okay. Yes. I know what you're
instead
saying.
Instead, say there's a lot that can go wrong, but what can go right?
There's also this, I think that in our culture, a lot of times too, especially like, I mean, it's always been this way, but like with Instagram and with all this stuff, there's a lot of like faking different emotions and denying yourself and everyone else the ability to have like a real sadness or like a real, you know what I mean?
You don't address feelings.
You don't address feelings. And then everybody is like, all the kids are suicidal and everybody's shooting each other. It's just, it's like we've basically re-upped the 50s where everybody has to be like all buttoned up in like a cute sweater with like tits out to here or whatever. And then like, and like going around and being like, I've never shed a tear, honey. You know what I mean? Like that bullshit.
Well, there's this idea like, don't worry, be happy. Right. So Bobby McFerrin hated that song, by the way.
He won't talk about that song.
Really?
Yeah. But it maybe say it's never fun to feel like that. It's there's something I can do to help you enjoy life.
It's also that thing of like, you know, anybody who's ever been having like a panic attack or like having like an actual like real like meltdown, you can't just say calm down. That's never calmed anybody down. Do you know what I mean? That's never done anything.
No, it's probably made them more rageful, right?
For sure. So just being like, just like you'll brush it off, kid. Anybody can do anything when you feel like nobody, like you can't do like anything right. That's the same thing. It's like the calm down of that.
And as I would say, like George Takei, I would say Johnny McGovern, RuPaul, I would say all kind of share that toxic positivity. And I've told them, like I've told it to their faces, you know, this is not, they know that I feel about this, about their approach to life. And the reaction to me is like, I don't know how else to survive. I don't know how to how else to be. And like RuPaul and recently in a Vanity Fair interview addressed once again that this really strange trans exclusionary radical feminist viewpoint that transgender women don't belong on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Ah, that's really too bad. And I feel like shameful. That's like really too bad.
Dragula, Camp Wanakiki, other reality TV shows have benefited and really grown and become really amazing shows to watch because they embrace people on all from all kinds of vantage points.
Well, sure. Expanding anything is going to make it more varied and beautiful, you know, and just I don't know. That's dumb. I
get positioned as Johnny McGovern said to me, I'm like Darth Vader.
You're like Darth Vader
on this show. He said that I'm secretly. And I think that's a little bit of projection is that it is. And to some degree is this idea that I'm somehow this sinister person because I'm trying to get people to listen to each other and to grow by addressing our feelings. And for a lot of people who don't have access to a therapist or don't have a strong community or for whatever reason, you know, and I would argue that mm-hmm. Johnny does have access to a therapy and has a strong community, but for whatever reason, this is something he struggles with as a person. I know we've struggled with this is the ability to address difficult, painful feelings that are tied to your career as an entertainer, which sometimes means walking away from it, which means ending it. Listen to what RuPaul said on the Vanity Fair article. He said that I am helpless. There's nothing I can do to make people happy when it comes to the issue of excluding trans women from our show.
Nothing I can say will make people happy.
And I'm like, yes, you could say these are our new contestants, mm-hmm. and some of them are trans women. Some of them are cisgendered well, women. Some of them are heterosexual men. You know, Dragula's doing it. Camp Wanakiki's doing it. You can too, as too.
I feel like, I mean, in a way, he's right by saying that because he's not going to say the one thing that will make everybody happy, which would just be like, oh yeah, sure, I could, yeah. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't they be included? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But
well, because the thing is, it's crazy. Is that they're going to do this Drag Race Celebrity Edition, and you know it's not all going to be cisgendered straight men on that show,
or gay men,
or gay men.
It's not only mm-hmm. Neil Patrick Harris; he's too busy. Neil Patrick Harris is too busy mm-hmm. to be on RuPaul's projects. Mm-hmm. Let me put it that way. But we certainly
his husband might be available.
His husband yeah. will be available. You know, all the kind of, you know, we call this the judges on RuPaul's Drag Race that have all the time in the world to hang out in the World of Wonder studios for an entire day while they slowly film, because people don't realize that filming those shows takes a lot of time. And they're extremely boring.
Sure.
And it's not like, woo, whiz, bang, let's get the next contestant out. You know, they have to, like, set the cameras. Then the person comes out. They set the cameras again.
Filming everything is boring.
It's time-consuming. Yeah. And you know, when we're so used to watching something at home and being entertaining, then the brutal reality is if you dream of being a star, of being an entertainer, and you're not aware of what the work involves.
It's a lot.
It's a huge. It's like learning there's no Santa Claus.
It's funny too because like I just feel like, you know, I go to therapy so much, but like I feel like that's like a huge thing is like self care. You gotta like figure out how to like separate yourself completely from it. But while you're on the way up, I think that a lot of people, really successful people, which is probably like why. I mean, I don't know if I'll make it because, like, I really take self-care, into account. Like, I make sure to do that. But, like, a lot of really successful people don't separate it out, and it's, like, constant. You know what I mean?
Okay. They're constantly working.
Constantly working.
Carly, I'm going to give you two choices, A or B.
Okay.
And they're, like, fortune cookies in my hands.
Okay. I just, like, blindly pick?
Choose one, and that will be the truth for you.
Okay. B. Do B.
Okay, B, you're exactly where you need to be right now.
I feel like that's true. I love, like, I don't know.
You want to know what A was?
Yeah, what's A?
Now is the time to take action and pursue your dreams.
I like both of those. I'm taking both. Thank you so much. I'm taking both.
And the idea behind that approach is that those two ideas are not mutually exclusive, that you can... you've already been successful in other people's eyes. You are a star. You're an entertainer. You're a celebrity. You're inviting to be seen. But just understand that no matter how much money and no matter how big your Twitter followers get, you're still going to be struggling.
Totally. And it's interesting because, like, you watch all these people, you know, a lot of people get under fire for a lot of stuff. And just being that big and having everyone's eyes on you constantly, it's got to be a fucking nightmare. And then all of your weird personal issues, because everybody's kind of, you know, working through whatever it is, they're working through it. Like, RuPaul's obviously got some, you know, prejudice that he can't let go of, and he hasn't, and he like is either working through it or he's not working through it, but like everybody knows about it now because it's pretty evident, you know what I mean? Everybody's just like working through all that
well
stuff.
Recently in a video interview that he did, he said the one thing he's not afraid of anything, but the one thing that scares him the most is ignorant people who act like they know everything.
Sure.
And I would say that's projection.
Yeah, I mean, right, because so many people are looking to him for answers, like answers, you know?
Well, and eventually, and I've said this before on the podcast, too, eventually they will have a trans person on the show, and he will say, I've always wanted one on the show, but the world wasn't ready for
it yet. And that's just the way it fucking goes, right? Like, everybody, I feel like no one's perfect, everybody sucks a little bit, and that's our work, is, like, doing the thing that, like, makes us suck a little bit less. Yeah. Yeah. But once you get, like, once you're, like, hyped up to that level, if you haven't done as much work as maybe you could.
See, you're in the field that you want to suck less. I'm in the field I want to suck more.
You want to suck more? Like,
what
too
are you
nice.
About? Come my
way. I'm just kidding. Speaking of, but we're always open to you know, comments on the website, whatever, you know, feedback, that kind of stuff.
Everybody's like, you know, do. It's fine.
If we can dish it out, we can take it because it is Feast of Fun after all.
Yeah, well, I noticed this, like when I contact, you know, my internet service provider or I get, you know, customer service for a product I bought, we get an email saying, how did we do? And I always thought about that as like, does the corporation that sends me the email asking me for feedback really like listen to it? Or are they just asking me to express my feelings in a private email so I don't go on Twitter and say, you know, Hewlett Packard sucks. Eat shit.
Yeah, like, yeah, you Carly wonder Fiorina. That.
It's psychological manipulation.
Oh, man. I'm going to send everybody, after we do this, you just let me know who they are. I'm going to send, like, a mask email and just be like, let me know if you think I've been an apologist this whole interview. you just let me know here and now and then never speak of it again.
Could
you
interpret that into your act, maybe into your stand-up act at the end? Fill out my service. Short five
cents
survey at the end. You know?
Well, didn't Kathy Griffin get into trouble because she would sort of put people on blast in her stand-up career?
Yeah.
It was a Seinfeld episode.
That's all of her career is getting in trouble, getting a ton of press for being in trouble, and then figuring out how to get in trouble again is what I feel like. And she's brilliant at it. It's
for
funny.
Sure. Well, I think especially, you know, cutting the head off of Trump, that thing was
brilliant.
That was
so blown out of proportion. I was so mad about that because, like, fuck you. That was
thing. She knew how big it would kind of blow up in some ways. But the brilliant thing about it was so smart is because she really made it seem as though her career absolutely tanked and that she was untouchable.
Right.
And so she was able to buy everything that she had ever produced, like My Life on the D-List and all those things like that, for rock bottom prices.
Really?
And so she bought it all back and then she went on a tour.
I love
and
that.
And it was sold out tours. And,
I
and
love
you
that.
You know, as a comedian nowadays, that those tours are where you make your money.
Yes.
And so now she owns all her shit.
I love that.
She's made money from the tours.
Good
so,
for her. Yeah. I mean, like,
she's no dummy.
And honestly, regardless of like what I think have thought about like her, I think she's great. But like, even if I didn't, I think that particular like thing was, it made me so upset because so many of my people of my friends have gone under fire and gotten so much blast from criticizing Trump in any way, mm-hmm. in any like political platform. And it's like all of these, it's just, it's scary mm-hmm. and it sucks. And it shows like what a weird, precarious place like we're in as a country. And it's just mm-hmm. really weird.
And do you think though,
and everybody's a Russian.
Do you think if a male comedian did that, the backlash would be anything near?
No, not at all. Yeah. Everybody that I've known who's gotten like really, really, really fucked with has, you know, either been non-binary or definitely a woman mm-hmm. and like been, I don't know. I just feel like it's really, it's scary and it sucks. Mm-hmm. And I think that you should be able to criticize who you want to criticize.
But part of it is like, you know, that quote that Madonna starts her concert tour recently with is that artist's job is to tell the truth. Mm-hmm. And if you're telling the truth, you're going to be attacked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And expect to be attacked.
Well, it's to tell their truth, whatever they've decided it is at that mm-hmm. particular moment. And like, of course that people are going to attack you for it, but like it's the level of attack. There's being criticized for stuff, and then there's getting death threats and like actually like needing to like go into like a seclusion or something, or like being in danger. Having to move out of your home, like having to, you know, protect yourself in any sort of a real way, being like trolled online in a way where it's like death threats constantly and like waking up to that and like going to bed to that. I think that's not criticism. That's like scary and that's upsetting and that should be illegal. You know, I don't know. That's what I think.
Yeah. Miley Cyrus, she kind of gets into hot water for borrowing Miley? Or stealing images and ideas from Instagram to post content on her own Instagram that has nothing to do with her music.
Her people straight up steal shit all the time. And it's so funny to me because the stuff that they steal is like, it's this like very like niche feminist art, like Instagram art. Mm-hmm. With these like artists who are doing art. Okay. But they're doing art that gets criticized a lot for like being not art, like not fine art or whatever, or like not
what was the, like the cake that so there's so a there's cake this, and like, there's artists this, are posting progressive this, feminist
right
messages this, on cakes.
So there's this feminist cake lady, I forgot what it's called. I think it's called like feminist cakes, cake feminist. Mm-hmm. You could like, she does
website.
Okay. Like as a pastry, does an ex pastry chef. Okay, who honestly was not very good.
The
and
sweet
so I quit.
Feminist,
but the sweet feminist. So mm-hmm. yeah. And she posts these like cakes, and honestly, they're not. It's not like amazing pastry mm-hmm. making. Okay, it's just like
they're
cake.
Very basic
it's
cakes.
A basic ass cake, and mm-hmm. then you put on it like. Like women rule or whatever mm-hmm. you do. And she did this one that was just like,
kind of read you some of the yeah. statements she writes on cakes and cookies yeah. and stuff.
And like, and I agree so with here. It, but the cakes aren't that beautiful. Okay,
sugar, spice, and you're under no obligation to be nice.
There you go.
Good sex is a good enough reason.
Okay, sure.
Cake is sweet, but I'm not.
So it's like this bumper sticker mm-hmm. cake thing,
right.
But it's not like particularly gorgeous. It's not, you know what I mean? Like you're seeing them. It's pretty mm-hmm. basic stuff. It looks like something that someone cooked in their living room or whatever, you know?
This cake was made with rage, not love.
Ooh, I want to taste that cake.
Decriminalize sex work. Smash the patriarchy.
Yeah, it's very smash.
Dear men, step the fuck up.
Yeah.
Yes, another cake about abortion. Impeach him, but it's not just about him.
Okay, perfect. All of that stuff where everybody can get behind it and be like, uh-huh, absolutely cake or whatever.
Because everybody loves cake. And, yeah. and people go, oh, happy. Oh, your anger is valid.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like.
So Miley took one of these cake images.
Yeah. So it's pretty basic cake shit, but mm-hmm. it's like, this is the lady who's doing it, and she's doing it this way, and this is her cake, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is her bumper sticker statement that people will, like, snap at. Okay, fine. So Miley Cyrus sees, like, their team sees, like, these cakes, and then just fucking steals the whole goddamn cake. Like,
they
word
went into this woman's
for
home
word.
And stole the cake
they
out of her
they might as well have, but, like, they saw a cake, and then they just made it themselves and put it in their video. But the like all the lettering is exactly the same, where it's like kind of not great. And then they like underlined an and like exactly the same way. They just stole this poor lady's cake. And this is obviously the art that she does.
And it says abortion is healthcare.
Abortion is healthcare. Very nice bumper stickery.
Let's say
cake.
Her name, Becca Rhea Holloway, the sweet feminist.
The sweet feminist, Becca. She's doing great work. She responded to the cake theft. So then she was just like, you know, this is absolutely ridiculous. Miley Cyrus, you know, you're taking my cake stuff, art stuff. And she got in hot water. And I think maybe Miley Cyrus apologized. I'm not sure. But then in another video that was like right after the cake one, I think Miley Cyrus was did another one where there's okay there's this lady who fucks fruit or like what? She like okay wait well she like has like
she fingers
she,
the
she
fruit.
Fingers the she sexualizes all fruit and sometimes butternut squashes and like she'll like spank
so she's
them.
Open to vegetables
she's open to vegetables
she swings
does she
both
do any yeah, meat she, is she meat at all
no she's never done any meat it's mostly like she'll like put like honey inside of a peach and then she'll just like finger fuck it until it like comes the honey it's very hot but like also, it's her art, and she like does this art, and one could say there's a lot of questions about whether it's art or not. But if you watch it, like it's like hot, you know what I mean? Like, so she's doing something, and she's like inciting an emotion, whatever.
She intends for it to be art. It is consumed and seen as art, but some people might see that it's because of its topic. Or imagery, they might not associate it with art.
Well,
or they dismiss it.
Or they think it's vulgar.
I think that most people who dismiss it aren't dismissing it because they think it's vulgar. I think they're dismissing it because, as this one lady... okay, I want to say this. Listen, I want to say this. Okay. And I want to say, I think that this lady is doing art, okay? I think that this lady is doing art, but... one of the funniest comments, because also Miley Cyrus stole her art by like fucking fruit in one of her videos, whatever.
Doing the same idea.
Yeah, she's like fingering a melon. Yeah. Okay, look it up. But so this lady like was just like, Miley Cyrus is stealing from artists who don't have the same platform as her and not giving us any credit, and it's bullshit. And she was making very cogent points. And underneath it, a lot of people were like, yeah, fuck Miley Cyrus. And then underneath that, this one lady was like, girl, you fuck fruit. but I'm not saying that she's right. I just think that was pretty good.
My friend told me about this porn once, and it was this one woman, and she took a corn cob and she was using it as a dildo, and then all of a sudden popcorn started appearing all
I
over
love
the
that
screen.
So much.
And I'm like, I want to see that porno.
Don't tell Miley, she's gonna steal that shit. but like, you know, Miley's team just nabs shit and like doesn't give it. And it
sucks. They're like drag queens, they just culturally just take this.
But like drag queens can do it because drag queens don't have 5 billion people following them.
Some of them do now, the RuPaul's do, and they still act like they're, you know, the most marginalized person on the planet.
Well,
and
they
like,
are.
When you have a show that's being produced by MTV, you're not marginalized.
I mean, they're popular, marginalized. They're marginalized, literally the most marginalized.
And that's what we're looking at here, right? Is this weird transformation that happens when a marginalized person gets into a position of power.
Yeah.
And how they don't know what to do with it.
No,
it's like
for
the
sure.
dog that catches the car.
Good dog catches the car. Yeah.
Who barks after it. Suddenly they're like, well,
what do I do with this car?
And Madonna, you know, is somebody who's throughout her career has been accused. And
of being a full weapon. But okay, I just watched Body of Evidence in which lawyers were the entire time being like, this sexy woman might be also considered a gun or a knife because she used her sexiness in just the same way. And everybody was like, absolutely.
Mark, you had a friend of your mother's who got really mad at Madonna one time.
Wait, what?
This was in the early 90s, and it was not a friend of my mother's. It was an older woman I knew. She must have been 60-some years old, and I was, like, in my 20s. And so and she was just somebody mentioned Madonna, and she got so mad. Sure. And I, like, she was just like, got enraged by Madonna. She's like, that woman will do anything for money. She would take money, stick it up her twat and set it on fire if she could make more money. And I was just like, I had never seen this woman react like that. And I don't think I'd ever heard a 60-year-old woman say the word twat.
Yeah, that's before. Amazing.
But it was just like, I was just kind of like, it gave me newfound respect for Madonna that she could incite such anger in somebody.
It's so funny too, because mm-hmm. like probably Madonna didn't do like as much as like every other star has been forced to do because she was so loud. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Probably she like got out of doing like stuff because she was like proud and loud and like wasn't going to take bullshit. Mm-hmm. And like whatever that woman said is like this unfortunate truth for like people like Marilyn Monroe and like other, like, you know what I mean? Where it's like, yeah, you could say they would do anything for to like just survive, I guess. Mm. You know, I don't know.
What you're saying is that Madonna was empowering herself, whereas these other people were victims of other people's power.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people have done a lot of stuff to make it big. Mm-hmm. And that's just like the mm-hmm. reality of having like straight men in charge of everything. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
I saw an interview. Somebody just shared it with me with an interview with Jane Mansfield, not the drag queen, not James Mansfield from RuPaul's Drag Race, but the original
Jane Mansfield. Yeah.
And she's like talking about being an actress. She's like, and she met with this guy and she's just like, yeah. And then he just, you know, he dyed my hair and put this like push up bra on me. And that's who I am now.
Yeah. Oh, there was this, oh my God. I'm just remembering, who was the Bette Midler? Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little while ago, she was talking about how, someone raped her, but she doesn't consider it rape. Cause like no one over 50 considers when they were rape as like a woman mm-hmm. or whatever. But she was like, yeah, I was at this party when I was like young and I don't know, everybody did Quaaludes. Anyway, this guy like shoved Quaaludes in my mouth and then I woke up and I came to and he had just fucked me in the bathroom. She just like said that story like a, like, you know, like that stuff. And that's just like the reality of like when
it's a different time.
It's
frame.
A different time right now than mm-hmm. it was like even in the 80s.
So Madonna has been sued a lot this past year.
Yes.
From her fans for saying she's late to her show.
I love
that
so much. Good. Be as late as you. I want her to fucking, I want people to push out her bed onto the thing and then just slowly wake
that's
her up
what her
over
show,
the 2 hours.
A little bit of her show is her just being like, you know, I'm just here.
Take a nap.
I really like this trend. I think it's very healthy for us as a nation and as human beings to talk about our feelings. You know, yeah. It's very Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers is hot right now with the new movie, Won't You Be My Neighbor?
I really want to see that. I haven't seen
great.
It.
It's really, really a wonderful film. Definitely check it out. It's not as terrible as Frozen 2.
Oh, my God. I do not want to see that. All of the ads for that are so dumb. They're so ridiculous.
Frozen 2, The Search for More Money.
Yeah.
It's like a scrambled mess and there's no lesbian action in it. So
have you seen the promo for it? They like make Kristen Bell like dress up in this dumbass outfit like bought from Kmart of her character. Like they don't even like spring it. And then they just like keep making her
in real
run
life,
across.
This is not animation.
This isn't real life. And then they were just like making her like run across busy streets. She kept saying, oh my God, we almost got hit. that was like a lot of the, I was like, what the fuck is happening?
I almost got hit by a dump truck full of money.
It was insane. Anyway.
Frozen 2.
It looks like bullshit.
It's like they took all the story elements from the first movie, scrambled it, and every celebrity actor, you know, who once said, okay, I'll do the sequel, but you got to give me at least 2 songs.
Yeah.
And so there's just unnecessary song after unnecessary song.
Oh, and they were also like made to sing a lot. Like, and you have to, I want to send this to you. It's the most insane thing I've ever seen. To make like a celebrity. You're like, this is, Kristen Bell is a millionaire. What is she doing? She's like in a Kmart. I'm not even kidding. Like a really shitty, you know, that shitty material.
Yeah.
It was like, it's like
ordered
from Amazon.
Somebody.
Oh my God.
So, you know, don't wait for it to go on Disney Disney Plus. But in terms of, you know, won't you be my neighbor, or It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. I think that's
I haven't seen the documentary movie. Either. I'm
both of them
like
are great films, but the new one that's out in theaters is based on the journalist's story of meeting and working with Mr. Rogers. Is a beautiful story that I think and deserves like, an Oscar.
Because he thought this guy's full of shit. He's, you know, this is just a persona. And then he discovered, like, who the real Mr. Rogers was. And it really, it said, it, you know, it changed his life.
Yeah.
It changed who he was, because he was carrying so much anger inside of him. And he was just like, you know what? I can be a better person, and I can accept the better person in other people as well.
Where's my Mr. Rogers? I got a lot of anger.
You just need like a nice, quiet man to come to your house. And
I
got to
tell people, it's like, you have to be, we don't have Mr. Rogers anymore. We have to be Mr. Rogers for each other and for ourselves.
Yeah,
and so that means creating spaces for people to be heard and to listen to.
Absolutely.
And that's what we do here on Feast of Fun. We, for 15 years, have been doing this podcast where we create a space where people can be heard, understood, and validated, and grow and listen. And I hope that Feast of Fun is a force of good in the world.
For sure.
And we only exist here. We are only be here because of your financial support. Right now, the foam that is in the microphones, the cables that we use right now are crumbling and need to be replaced, as well as some of the channels on the mixer and the sound compressor are giving out. So please go to feastoffun.com. I'm sorry, gofundme.com/savefeastoffun. And any amount that you can give this holiday season will help get our podcast back on its feet.
Hell yeah.
Next year, we're going to be starting our Sweet 16, ooh, our 16th season, wow, of podcasting. I can't believe it. And it's only been made possible because of the generous support of people like you who are listening right now. And if you'd like to become a Plus member, you can do that at feastoffun.com/plus, because your contribution to the show is really what makes it possible.
I want to do a shout out to Lola von Miramar.
Yes, Lola.
Danny Chen. Josh Kilmer Purcell, the fabulous Beekman boys.
Yes.
Winners of The Amazing Race.
Yes.
Kai Contreras and Federico Gasparri and many other wonderful people who have made, who have donated, we're one third of our goal away.
Oh, that's awesome. I'd also like to give a shout out to Mike and Javier, who's, you know, sent a little donation other ways.
Yeah. And you guys can do so. Once again, gofundme.com/save. Feast of Fun. So Madonna is getting sued because now the new lawsuit by Casey Spooner of Fisher Spooner, who actually went to art school with this guy, actually.
Really?
Yeah. We sat together in a semester in sound art classes together.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And but how did
he seem?
Chicago,
what did he seem like? Did he seem like the suing type?
He's very wealthy. Very
he's broke.
Well, at the time,
according to the lawsuit.
Oh, damn.
He
spent it.
I don't know what his financial situation was, but he did not go to class a lot, and he would present a lot of work that was very atonal and crazy and chaotic.
Sure.
And everyone was like, huh?
But they went on to have a career.
And he had an amazing career because I think that Emerge album is an amazing album, and he's an amazing musician and deserving of the success that he's had. When I knew him, he was definitely struggling to find his voice.
He's experimenting.
And he's always welcome to come on the podcast, Casey.
I would love to hear that.
Talk
about
his Madonna lawsuits.
Yeah.
So right now, he was collaborating with another musician who worked with Madonna on the song God Control, the one where Madonna gets shot on the dance floor in the video. And he's claiming that he created that song, and it got stolen from him, and Madonna is, you know, making a lot of money from it.
So he's saying he worked with Merwais, you know, dot official. That's the Instagram handle for this person. And that person worked with Madonna's people. And Madonna's people are saying, we had no idea you were involved in it at all. Here's a certain amount of money, and we can owe you a percentage of the sales. And he's like, well, that's not enough money. You know, this is the song that opens up Madame X tour. And you're saying a percentage of the sales. Well, you know, nobody's making money off of sales of music anymore, even Madonna. So it's like, that's not really helping me. So it's like, I want more money. I want a percentage of the tour from God Control, especially since you open with my song.
I think give it to him. I don't know. Like, she's got a bunch of money. Just give him,
how much? You think those schools in Malawi are come cheap?
Yeah, like, I feel like.
Oh, no, honey.
I feel like just, it's like, you have a bunch of money.
Six kids. How many kids does Madonna have now?
Oh, does she have a lot of money?
Six or five. She has got a lot of kids.
Does she?
Yeah.
Really?
She's got the two she birthed.
Okay.
And then she's had the two she adopted in the beginning. And I feel like she got two more, right?
How did she get?
Might be six.
David Mercy, and then she's got a couple of little tiny ones now.
And Meriwether.
Okay.
And Fiona. Flora, Fauna, and Meriwether.
Those are the fairies. Yeah. And also, as many spices as she has in the kitchen, she just needed to name all of her babies in order.
Turmeric.
One is called Esther, right?
Esther, yes.
Esther.
Esther's the youngest of all of them all.
And they're in the show. They're adorable.
Oh, it's like Judy Garland with their children. Mm-hmm. It's really wonderful.
Except, like, better parents. Better. Don't say
those
that.
Those kids love their mother. Madonna, for all her failures or struggles, she is not failing as a mother.
That's great.
And
she said she had some regrets, though, when she was on stage in the Madame X concert.
I mean, I'm sure. Every mother.
As a parent, yeah.
Every mother does, though, I think, probably.
Especially, I think, with Rocco more than anything. I think Rocco really doesn't really care for his mom too much.
I can tell you something. You can mess up a lot of ways as a parent, but if you spend time with your kids, it's going to work out.
Yeah.
Spend time with your kids face to face. That's the only thing you can do. You can struggle financially. You can feed your kids breadcrumbs and cardboard. You can do a lot of mistakes, but as long as you're both there in the room to talk about your feelings, it's going to work out.
Right. If you're there in a present way, like people, like every kid benefits from it. There's tons of studies on it. Like there's, you know, it's having the person that makes you feel safe, make be present and feel that feeling of safety. You know,
you're a rotten person, then give your kid up for
then get out of there. Get out of there. Yeah.
It ain't no crime. If you are not ready to be a parent, give your kid up for adoption.
For sure. I used to when I was young, because like I have a lot of like issues with my mom. My mom has BPD, borderline personality disorder. And it wasn't treated very well because like of the 80s, you know, mm-hmm. when nobody knew about what that was and misdiagnosed it a bunch. And so she like was very, it was rough growing up with her, but like most, I used to have this thing where I was just like, there should be a test or something. Like you would have failed for sure. There should be like a test. like a mom test, like a test. Mm-hmm. And then they don't let you out. They don't let you out with the kid if you failed the test. But now that I'm older, I know that is maybe also right.
There's this phenomena that observed that when a marginalized person gets their work stolen by a more powerful or more visible, wealthier entity or corporation or celebrity, that usually the public bashes the person who got their stuff stolen. In a similar dynamic that, you know, like sexual abuse blames the victim.
Sure.
Or any kind of victim, you know, when someone gets assaulted, usually the instinct of people who said, what were you doing that got you assaulted? What were you doing that this terrible thing happened to you?
Right. I think, I don't know. I never think that. I always think that it's the richest person's fault, because I'm like, well, obviously the rich person did it. Of course they did. But I guess that there's like, is he getting a lot of flack now?
Yeah, all Madonna's fans are bashing Casey Spooner.
Really?
And be like, you're just greedy. You're just asking for money. And I'm like, well, he did write the song. So why can't Madonna just credit him with the song? And if the song's going to make money, it is big business. It's a big corporation. Share some of the wealth.
Yeah, and he can prove that he like created the song or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's what he's doing, you know?
Yeah.
So best of luck we support artists.
Yeah.
In 2008, talk about a 10-year transformation. I came up with a flag called the Cougar Pride Flag.
Yeah, that's so crazy. Yeah, okay.
Which then in 2010, almost a decade later, a blog stole the pixel for pixel almost from the This Lesbian Life blog and proposed it as the Lipstick Lesbian Pride Flag. And it caught wind. And now when you go to Pride events all over the world, you can see my design as the lipstick lesbian pride flag.
Slightly modest.
With the white flat, with the white stripe moved to the middle.
But otherwise, the lips are the exact same. The lips are exactly the same.
Pixel for pixel. Yeah. Yes.
Where'd you get those lips?
I got them off of a free stock art.
Okay. Okay.
So, but the position, if you overlay the image on top of each other, it is pixel for pixel. She didn't lay it out. She just moved the colors.
Yeah.
And so as a consequence of this, you know, I said, it's when I post things on the internet, there is a, it would be nice to be credited. It would be nice to be paid.
Yeah.
But you know, neither Natalie or myself make any money from that design.
Right.
But I would like for all lipstick lesbians in the world to embrace trans women as part of their feminism.
Totally.
Trans women are women.
Yes.
Don't be a TERF.
Yeah.
Unlike the girls in Frozen.
Is that what you...
Just kidding.
The Onion did an article that said that she was going to come out as a lesbian, but also as a trans-exclusionary radical feminist. Ellen. So people were like, she's going to be a lesbian. And she's not there yet.
Yay.
But there were some lesbian implications. There was
in
a lot of
Frozen?
Moaning. Yeah, in Frozen 2.
Oh,
there was
Frozen.
Moaning. There was yearning. There was calling.
There's a song called Come Out.
Was there?
Yeah, there's a song that's an allegory for coming out.
So there was like all this moaning and singing, and she's following this voice through this long cavern, which I think symbolizes a vagina.
Well, sure.
You know, kind of thing. So, but then, of course, you also have Chris. Was it Christian? The guy?
Christoph.
Yeah,
the blonde hunk.
He has a, like, I think one of the guys from up north has a little thing for him. Because you're like, ooh, I feel a little spark coming
between
the two of
these
guys.
Honestly, everyone in every Disney movie is gay. There's zero, like all the inanimate objects they're all gay. Nothing isn't gay.
The beginning of Sleeping Beauty, they show a little young Prince Philip.
Yeah.
And he looks at the Sleeping Beauty in the crib where she's sleeping and goes, I'm not marrying her.
Yeah.
Like, it's a great scene that everyone's forgotten about.
Oh my God.
And they don't even name the wife. They don't name Sleeping Beauty's mother ever in the movie.
Like King Stefan and his wife.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, she's just a woman, so why would they do that? but
and basically, it's Sleeping Beauty. The illustrators just drew her a little bit older. Like, it's the same cartoon.
I'm going to say everyone is gay. Like, in all of the, I don't care who kisses who, everyone is gay in all of the Disney films from the second that they were made up until now. They're all gay. And before, they used to be really problematic and racist.
You know,
and
part of it is like the early Disney films, and you know, we're using the free trial to watch Disney Plus. We're trying to squeeze as many of these classic movies into our repertoire. And Disney in its early days and its golden era really captured the mind of a child. And this,
I just had a flashback. My mom used to, my mom like decided when I was like very young that I was into Betty Boop, which like no one is into, no small child is into Betty Boop.
Betty Boop is very psychedelic.
It's great. I mean, I really liked that, but like Betty Boop herself is just like a big headed, like slut. She's just like
the burlesque artist.
Yeah. She
African-American burlesque artist.
She's like, oh really?
Yeah.
I didn't know
it's
that.
Total appropriation.
I mean, that
totally stole her career.
That fully makes sense because she's like always like wearing a garter belt and like doing all this. But anyway, my mom used to like dress me like her, and I used to have like Betty Boop like all over my walls, and I was just like, I don't even really like this. I loved the grandpa. The grandpa was cool. Do you remember the grandpa? Dog.
So anyways, but with Disney, with their early films, it's like they've somehow, and up until like, you know, with Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast, up when they start doing Tangled and Frozen and all these kind of CGI movies, it seems like Hollywood now is, instead of making films, it's making CGI movies where computer generated graphics, whether it's, you know, Star Wars or if it's, Frozen or anything else. It's all about the technical marvel of creating a computer generated graphic. And storytelling and music and writing and the human experience and feelings take not even their second place. They're like low on the list.
Yeah, it's gross. It's like anytime there's like special effects that's like that's like the CGI bullshit. They just cut out. They cut it into like some unrecognizable bullshit, and then it's just like, look at that weird car smashing those like tiny people that obviously aren't real. And it's like, we're supposed to be into that, but it doesn't even look real. It's just stupid. I don't know. I've like stopped watching. Like, I don't watch any of the Marvel.
If Avatar, if you took all the CGI away from Avatar, it'd be a lame version of Pocahontas.
And isn't that the most popular? That's like the most popular, like it's like the most grossed film.
Well, I think as a society, we're really dazzled by the CGI Marvel. Mm-hmm. And once I think we sort of grow up and go past it, we'll get back to storytelling.
Yeah. Yeah. I never think it looks good enough to like justify all the money and all the stuff. Do you know what I mean?
I'm a graphic designer and I love to see, you know, beautiful images and technical wizardry, but I'm also a storyteller and I love a good story.
Yeah, I just think that the CGI that's meant to look real and has that, but then the technology isn't there enough, and then it just has that weird uncanny valley effect, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where it's kind of like, I don't know, I guess it kind of looks like that car smashed that guy. Now it's getting better, but I remember when it first started, I was like, this sucks. This isn't like fun to see. You know what I mean?
Carly Ballerini, it's a pleasure talking to you. You're such a lovely free spirit.
Thank you so much for having me.
People can follow you on social media. Where?
You can follow me on YouTube if you want to. I just started this. So I've done a lot of therapy. And so like I started this like this this little
doing therapy. It's hard to imagine.
Oh, it's just crazy. But I did. I don't know if this is going to translate well. It's honestly video that I did, and I'm going to do a series of them. But it's just all different kinds of therapy. And I kind of like parody, like this is like it's like 10 therapies done terribly.
Oh, and, I like this idea.
And it's just kind of taken off a little bit. So I'm going to do like a bunch because I'm taking requests. But it's basically all therapists. They're like, I am friends with now like so many they're like therapists like in New Zealand.
So are you like pretending Beijing. To be a therapist, or are you the victim and you have these therapists come in and try and help you?
I'm the therapist. You're and the so therapist. I'm doing therapy to the camera, but it's like very specific therapies. Like I do CBD, I do DBT, I do
cannabinoids,
CBT, sorry, cognitive
torture?
Behavioral therapy. I do dialectic behavioral therapy. I do internal family systems therapy, psychiatry, you know what I mean? I do a bunch of them.
Freudian, Adlerian, so on.
I haven't, that's like more of like a broad thing. I like do like these very specific ones. And so
do Rolfing?
What? Rolfing? No, but like,
so you're parroting the way that these therapies can be misused.
Yeah. So I'm just doing like a little series. You can follow me on YouTube.
What's your channel?
I don't know.
You don't know your own channel?
No, I just started. I only have like 3 videos. Like
I'll put a video. Send
Carly
a video.
Ballerini.
Yeah, just look at my name. Nobody has this name. It's it's like Carly Ballerini.
That's like more than one ballerina, right?
It's like more than one ballerina. You can
Does
follow
your whole
me
family dance?
Also on Twitter. What?
Does your whole family dance?
No. Okay. No. They're just like, I don't know, like Italians.
Okay.
Whatever. They just do a lot of stuff. They're like bakers and like dressmakers and shit, Italian shit. Right. You can Carly Ballerini comedy and Twitter too. So Twitter and YouTube are the ones that I'm trying to make better.
Because we live in a time period where marginalized people get their stuff eventually stolen by a large heartless corporation.
Yeah. Make me so big that people start stealing all of my shit. I would love it.
Make ideas worth stealing.
Yeah.
Make ideas that by when someone steals it, it transforms the world into a better place.
Aww. Yeah. Aww, I love that.
Awesome. It's like when Janeway and Voyager gets assimilated
Nobody
by the Borg.
I don't understand what you're saying, but I love this.
So there's
the
female captain of the spaceship gets taken in by these heartless, you know, total fascist cybernetic robots. And they absorbed her DNA, but in her DNA there was code that would assure their destruction. I say an idea can destroy, it can create, it can transform. And so when someone steals your idea, it becomes a part of them. So make ideas worth stealing. Make ideas that are full of compassion, creativity, and love.
I love that. I was just listening to this thing about this guy who he like does. I don't know if you guys have to go. It's a short story. So he makes drum sounds. And at first he was like making this whole kit and he didn't know whether or not to sell it because he was like afraid that everybody was going to start sounding exactly like him. And then he started selling it. And like everybody just was making this like gorgeous mm-hmm. art. And now everybody does that. And it was like this nice story, but it was basically the same thing. Anyway, follow me on Twitter.
I want the world to be full of art. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If we can make more art, you're going to be in a better place.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. So a lot of people are showing these at their therapy tutorial meetings. I've been getting a lot of messages. So if you would like to steal my thing and then just share it with a bunch of therapists, go right ahead.
You should do a comedy act at one of those therapist conventions.
They're like showing my video at therapy conventions.
They should be paying you for that.
Yeah. Well,
they should be paying you.
Anyway.
Get your lawyer on. Get Madonna's lawyer on.
It's not big enough for that. Please follow me on Twitter. And also, I'm gonna be releasing like a bunch of them. So that
I look forward to that.
Carly Ballerini.
Yep, that's me.
Your therapist friend.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is dealing with issues herself.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, we all are. You know.
And Ellen, forgive RuPaul, forgive Boy George, forgive Madonna. Yeah, for
none of them
being...
have done anything that bad that I know of. You know what I mean? Maybe they have. Maybe they've killed someone, but like we don't know.
Being an apologist for George W. Bush is pretty bad, but you know what?
That is pretty bad. He is almost a war criminal, but like that's fine.
It's going to be okay.
You got to talk to people that you disagree with, even people who are responsible for mass killings.
I'm willing to talk to everybody, but they also have to undo the damage they've done.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing that. I think he's just painting. Yeah. So it's different what he's doing.
Maybe Miley Cyrus will steal some of his paintings.
Oh, maybe. I don't know how that would
Miley
help either of them.
Why stealing George W. Bush's paintings?
You should... We should start a campaign I want to start a campaign. Can we start a campaign?
Yeah,
I think it's like Miley steal from Bush.
She already does a little bit of that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Hell yeah.
I can't believe she wasn't able to keep that man. He was so fine. I would have done anything to keep Liam in my bed.
Wait, what
Liam
happened?
Hemsworth, they got divorced.
When?
Like 2 months ago.
I slept with Liam Hemsworth. It was overrated.
He was so good, too.
Oh,
you knew that he wasn't going to last long, though.
No.
The second he was like, because he like went away the one time, then she got him back, and then she just kind of, she had like that crazy eye.
If you choose between Liam and Chris, which one would it be?
I don't even know. I'm more attracted to women.
You're gonna
than
have sex
men.
With like a cantaloupe first.
Yeah. I'm real into fruit. I'm real into fruits and women.
Let's go watch some sexy fruit on Instagram.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.